Welcome to this new episode of the Teachers of Europe podcast. This is a podcast to support teachers across Europe in addressing common classroom challenges and featuring educators that can inspire others to follow in their footsteps. The podcast has its home on the European School Education Platform, a European Union platform for schools funded by the Erasmus Plus program. My name is Benjamin Hertz, and I'm your host for this episode. And our topic for today is encouraging metacognition in the classroom. Now, we know that when students leave school, the world that they're entering will in many ways be quite different to the world they are facing right now. And that what counts for students when they come out of schools is arguably less what they know, but more if they have the ability to learn about new things. And that is why over the past years, we've seen an increased focus on developing students' competence of learning to learn. And in fact, that competence is one of the key competencies featured in the European Commission's Life Competencies Framework. But how do students learn how to learn? We're not going to look at that question in particular, but we'll look at one component of that, because an important component of learning to learn is metacognition. Now, metacognition refers to thinking about one's own thinking processes or thinking about one's own learning processes. And this is what we want to explore in this episode. How can we as teachers help our students to develop metacognition skills? What strategies can we as teachers use to do that? What challenges do we as teachers face? And what support can we benefit from? These are the kind of questions that I'd like to explore today. And I'm very happy to say that we have three guests in this episode today. And each of our guests brings a different perspective to this discussion. So I'm very happy to welcome Yeltsin Peters. Yeltsin is a former researcher, coach, and trainer on the topic of self-regulated learning, and she now runs her own company called At the Heart of Learning, which focuses on bringing the concept of self-regulated learning into schools. Yeltsin, thank you for joining us. What got you interested in this topic?
Well, actually, it was by accident, as it usually goes in at university when you want to pursue a research career. The topic sometimes comes just from your promoter, because and that was how it happened with me as well. So I started doing the research, and my promoter happened to be an expert in self-regulated learning. That's how I got into it. Luckily for me, I got passionate about it very early on, because to me, it was a whole set of skills that we could actually teach. And before that, I was occupied with this topic of empowerment. Everybody loves empowerment, but how to do that? And for me, the self-regulated learning and metacognition are really skills that we can teach so that people can be empowered. And so that really got me interested.
Excellent. Thank you. Looking forward to the conversation. Our second guest is Christina Klessens. Christina is a school leader at the Basisschool Venebos, which is a primary school in the Antwerp region. And previously, Christine worked for many years also as a teacher. Christine, warm welcome to you. What got you interested in this topic of metacognition in particular?
Hello, happy to be here. And I was a teacher for many years in sixth grade, and it's a very important year because you have to send your students to the high school, and you want to have their luggage really packed with all the information on how to organize themselves, how to learn, how to develop skills so they won't have a lot of troubles learning in the high school. So, actually, it was there that I found out it was very important for students to master those skills so that they won't have a lot of problems learning the new materials in the secondary school.
Excellent. Thank you, Christine. And our third guest in this episode is Stephen Verelst. Stephen is a school teacher at the De Brouw Basisschool, which is also a primary school in the Antwerp region. And Stephen also has many years of experience working as a teacher. Stephen, tell us a bit about your journey towards metacognition in the classroom.
Yeah, hi. So I teach the 8 and 9-year-olds at my school. And it's actually a colleague of mine who said to me, I think this is something you would really, really like. She was already interested in metacognition and self-regulating learning. And I thought to myself, I said, yeah, sure, why not, actually? So a couple of years ago, I think 2 or 3 years ago, I put myself out there. I went to Brussels. I studied with Yeltsin. And it's been a really, really fun trip, actually.
Excellent. And let's come back to that idea of learning and collaborating with your colleagues on this topic a bit later in the episode. But before we jump into the discussion, I'd like to focus on that concept of metacognition in a bit more detail. So, Yeltsin, you're an expert on self-regulated learning, yet we are talking about metacognition in this episode. Are these one and the same thing?
Well, they are not, but it's a really great question to be asking, because when we talk about learning how to learn and metacognition and self-regulated learning, there are so many different terms used and it gets sometimes a bit overwhelming. But self-regulated learning and metacognition are very much related, yet a little bit different. And I think the most easy way to describe the difference is by using the words of someone who's working really closely with Christine and Steven, because it's their coordinator of the primary schools in the district they are working in. And it was actually Kathy who once said, well, we want all of our students to have and to use the strategies that will help them succeed in learning. And that's what self-regulated learning is all about. But she continues, we want more than that. We also want our students to be aware of the strategies that they are using. And so we want them to be able to tell us why they are doing the things they are doing. And that's what metacognition is. So self-regulated learning really describes all the different skills that we know set students apart, that they can explain why some students are doing really well academically and why some aren't. And then the metacognition part is really students being aware of their own strengths and also being aware of the different approaches that exist and then be able to select that one that's going to work.
Can you tell us a bit more why that awareness is so important for student learning?
Yes, absolutely. The awareness is super important because we know from research that not every strategy that a student can use to learn well works in every situation. So there aren't any standard ways of studying. There are also not any standard ways of helping our students build metacognition. Luckily for us, there are, of course, some principles we can rely upon, and I'm sure we're going to talk about them. But students need to be aware of the strategies that exist in order to be able to select them. We know, for example, that it's super context dependent what strategy works best, because that's often a question that I'm asked, like, okay, we can understand that there are different strategies that help students learn, but then tell us what are the strategies that will matter most for students. Well, I cannot answer that question. It's really more a matter of making sure that our students know a variety of strategies. And from literature, we know that we don't only need metacognitive strategies, which is where we are going to talk about today, of course, but they also really need strategies like cognitive strategies so that they really know that they have the strategies to build knowledge and store it in a long-term memory. Like, they should know that it's better to spread your practice, for example, and study a little bit every day rather than one big chunk of information and studying in a week, for example. So those are the cognitive strategies. And then you have behavioral strategies, like knowing when to ask for help, for example, knowing that you shouldn't wait too long because then you're wasting time, but you also shouldn't be asking for help too quickly because then you're not really learning a lot yourself, for example. And then finally, there are these motivational and emotional self-regulation strategies, which are also super important. And research is really clear. When students have a variety of these strategies, that will impact their learning outcomes the most. So then when we equip students with a lot of strategies and then also make students aware of these strategies, it's going to help them set up for success because they can choose the most appropriate strategy for them. Now, if I can go a little bit into the theory of metacognition, is that okay? I think it can
absolutely
help.
Yes, yeah? Please do.
So usually when we look at metacognition, we differentiate between metacognitive skills and metacognitive knowledge. Now, the metacognitive skills, we see that as a part of self-regulation because those are the skills that students can use. Think about goal setting, planning, self-monitoring and self-evaluation, for example. Those are really metacognitive skills, right? Now, metacognitive knowledge, that's knowledge like we know it. It's knowing something. But metacognitive knowledge is knowledge about three things, basically. About learning. Do students know how learning happens? Do they know what strategies and skills will help them thrive? That's one thing. The second thing they can have metacognitive knowledge about is about themselves as learners. What are they good at? What are some of their challenges? What strategies work most for them? And then third, knowledge about the task that they're going to execute. And if they have knowledge of these three things, it's going to be so much easier for them to pick a strategy that will work for them in that particular context. And I have a small example I have I happen to have twins, which is nice as a researcher. I don't do twin studies on my own twins, but it's fun to see the differences sometimes. And a couple of weeks ago, they had the same homework. They had to study mathematical calculations, right? Like the very simple ones, but they had to automate it. And there were calculations with a plus and with a minus. And with my daughter, I know that she has a little bit more difficulties, like what we call controlling her impulses. So she sees the numbers and she blurts out the first number that she thinks about, and she forgets to look at the sign. Is it a plus or a minus? So for her, I knew that the self-regulation strategy that was going to work for her was self-instruction. So I had her tell out loud, okay, it's a plus, and then tell the result, or no, it's a minus, and then tell the results. So I knew that was a strategy that was going to work for her in that particular task. Now with my son, who loves mathematics, he practices all the time, these exercises weren't too hard. But what he struggles with is learning how to fail, how to make mistakes. Sometimes he does make mistakes because it was too quick. And then he needs self-regulation strategies like emotional regulation, because when he gets really, really sad, then he knows the next exercises he's going to fail as well. And then things only worsen. So for him, another strategy is most impactful. So it really depends on the context. And the teacher, usually when I tell the teacher this, they kind of freak out because they think, oh no, I have 25 students, right? Sometimes I see them only a couple of hours a week. How am I going to make sure for every activity that I give them, what is going to be the most impactful strategy for each and every student? Well, you cannot and you should not, because it's actually, we need to teach the students to make those decisions themselves. And that is where the teacher makes a big difference, I think. And that's where metacognition is so super important to teach.
Excellent. Thank you, Yelsen. I mean, that does nevertheless still sound like a very daunting task. I mean, just the fact that it's context dependent, that there are metacognitive skills, metacognitive knowledge, and addressing all of that, especially in a primary school context in which Christine and Stephen both work, I'm sure that can't be easy. So I'd like to jump over to Stephen now and hear a bit more about how you've actually addressed that in your classroom. How did you design activities to develop metacognitive skills or metacognitive knowledge?
Yeah, first of all, start small. It's like Yeltsin said, it's not an easy task if you see at the whole picture at once. But I try to help my students develop metacognitive skills, because we can design activities that guide them through three key steps, I think. It's like planning, monitoring, and evaluating their learning. First of all, planning. Before I start a task, I always ask my students what are their goals, their strategies, and potential challenges. In this school, in my school, we do this through self-regulated learning and working with the 21 skills from Zimmerman. It's like a little bit, we try to put that out as their language. So we tried as a school to find a language that we can speak, but also our children can speak about. Now, first of all, about planning, some strategies I like to use is the think aloud planning. So I model the planning process by talking through my own thinking so I can model it for my students. For example, before they start a writing task, I say, okay, listen, before I start, I need to decide my main argument and how I'll support it. We'll also go over goal setting. For example, my goals as a teacher can be different than a student's. My goal for today is, for example, I want these kids to use this strategy in mathematics. But one student in my classroom, he just wants to get everything right. And another student wants to get the intermediate steps right. So there are some steps, some small differences between your students. And if you let them set their goal, you already as a teacher know what that kid's goal is for today. For monitoring their learning during a task, students would check their understanding and adjust their approach if needed. So I like to use self-questioning. So I'll go to a student of mine and ask, okay, what you are doing now, does this make sense? Or what should you do if you don't understand? I'll also use some color-coded reflection. So if they fully understand the lesson, they put something green on their table. So I know, okay, this student knows what it's about and he can go his own way. If someone puts out a yellow block, he's a little bit unsure. So he probably is going to need a little bit of help. And if they put up a red block, that's a kid I know is not going to get at the result he wants to get because he doesn't understand the lesson. I also really like to work with peer check-ins. So I'll pair students to explain their work to each other so they can help each other. And as a last step for evaluating their learning, there are a couple of strategies I really, really like. Like, for example, exit tickets. At the end of the lesson, I'll let them write one thing down they learned and one thing they still have a question about. Error analysis in spelling, we do this a lot. This is something I do personally in my classroom. When they have to write, let's say, 20 words, I'm not going to mark their errors afterwards. I will mark the numbers that are standing in front of their 20 words. So when they are correcting their mistakes, they have to think about their mistakes. So they have to think, why wasn't it correct the first time around? So I think metacognitive teaching isn't about giving the students all the answers. It's about teaching them how to think about their learning. By embedding small reflective practices into daily lessons, we can empower these students to become more independent, strategic, and lifelong learners.
Excellent. Thank you, Stephen. I love that because it's like really concrete and small things that the teachers can very easily implement, right? And I imagine some of those strategies that you mentioned, many teachers will already be familiar with. At least I was, like the exit tickets or the peer check-ins or this formative assessment with the color coding. These are really concrete strategies, but by giving them at the same time the language of learning and the language of thinking, that can be extremely useful to introduce this in the classroom. I nevertheless wonder, how do you organize this? So are these strategies that you embed in your regular lesson? Or do you say, okay, now I'm organizing a lesson about metacognition or self-regulated learning or what else it is? Are you explicit about these aspects with them?
Yeah, we do them both, actually. It's a part of our Monday routine. At the end of the day, I'll take like half an hour of my regular schedule to talk about self-regulating skills. It's like half an hour where we clearly, explicit tell them what the strategy is about. So we try to give them the language to talk about it. And afterwards, I'll always try to put as many possible activities in one lesson. It's not possible to put them all in there. So don't even try. It's a lot. But try to focus on one or two at the same time.
Great. Thank you. I nevertheless wonder, you talked about this idea of sort of error analysis and exit tickets and self-questioning. That can be quite a daunting thing for students, in particular young students, to do. What's your experience there when you encounter students struggling with this self-awareness or this self-reflection?
Yeah, sometimes they struggle with it, but it's our job to model it. I try to model really the model reflection out loud, so the think alouds. Many students struggle with reflection because they don't really know what or how to think about their learning. And we can really try to model this process through these think alouds. This is something I do on a daily basis with my students. For example, after a maths lesson, I say, for example, oh, I noticed I made a mistake in my division problem. Let me check where I went wrong. Oh, I see, I forgot to carry over the one. Next time I'll double check each step. So this shows them how to identify mistakes and adjust their strategies. And instead of, this is a mistake I made a lot before I knew about all this, is something I said, but think about your learning, think about what you're doing. But for a lot of students, this is not specific enough. You have to put specific questions out there. Before a task, for example, I ask, what is your goal for this assignment? And what will you do if you get stuck? Or during a task, is your strategy working? Why is it or why is it not? And what can you change to improve your work? And after a task, I will ask them, what was the hardest part or how do you deal with it? If you had to do this again, what would you do differently? And this really, really is a major difference for how my students see at those questions. I'll also try to provide them with some visual reflection tools. I'm still really learning the way of AI and what is there in this world. There's a lot of things coming my way. But for example, on my smart board in the classroom, they have a couple of tasks that they can do when they finish the test or when they're done with their lesson and they still have some time. On my smart board, they can put a lot of different tasks next to their name, and they can put a green, yellow, and red colors if these tasks went good or when they need to review some parts or when they're really confused and still need some help. And that's something I really like as a teacher, because when I'm helping a lot of students in my classroom, the other ones can go and do their own thing. And I still, as a teacher, can look at what they are doing and how they are managing it.
Excellent. Great. Thank you, Stephen. I think a lot to think about there and a lot to work with for our listeners. Let's bring Christina here. You've been patiently waiting, and I think your perspective as a school leader is particularly important if we want to bring this more comprehensively into schools. So can you tell us a bit what you did at your school to help teachers to foster metacognition in their classroom? What type of challenges do teachers usually face, and how did you help them address those?
Yes. Well, how I implemented the SRL methods in my school, I talked about it every meeting we had. So I first made sure that we spoke the same language. What is it? What is it about? Because at first I noticed that some people were thinking different things about SRL. So it's very important that you speak the same language, because otherwise you're discussing about different things and you don't know it from each other. So that was the first step. Then it's
just
very,
to jump in here, Christine, just to clarify to our listeners, SRL refers to
self-regulated learning. Yes, indeed. Yes. So then it's very important that our teachers get the background. And you've heard Stephen, he's got the background. So that's very important, because if our teachers don't know the background and the mechanisms behind it, they cannot bring it to our kids. So we have watched the mini-MOOC from Yeltsin, which is a was very helpful to understand all the steps. And we have used the model of Zimmerman. And we have really studied that every time again. So we always took one of those strategies, like goal setting, and then we went to examine what is it, what mechanics are behind it, and what are we already doing? Because that was one of the things we discovered. It's not something new. It's something you probably do already in your classroom, but you don't do it on a conscious level. It's something you do for a good practice, but you don't apply it consciously. But if you are not conscious about what you're doing a good thing. But if you're not doing it consciously, then you cannot teach it to your students consciously. So what we are doing also today, because it's been 3 years phase, so we are 3 years working very hard on this in my school, but in our school group, we are already working with it 6 years. So it's really a process. You have to give yourself time to get through the process, because every time you learn something new and you get a new perspective and you get a deeper insight, so then you can work with that again. So it's always a next step you are taking. And today we are in the phase 3, and now we are really bringing all those strategies to our children on a conscious base, and they learn all the strategies by name. They know what they do with it. They know when to use it, and we are they're working with a portfolio. We're beginning with that, so it's really important to give yourself time. But it's a process. You cannot let it loose. You have to be working with it very intensely.
And I wonder, what was the reaction from the teachers when you first introduced these concepts, these methods? Were they excited about it, or were they really worried about it? Okay, this is one more thing I need to bring into my classroom among the many other things that are being pushed on me.
Exactly, you were present, I think, when I introduced you. No, it's. I think it's what most teacher groups experience. Oh, something new. Oh, and I've got to do a lot of things with this and that and a new method. And how am I going to do this? So it was really important to explain the why. Why are we doing this? Why should we do this? And then it was a really important thing to point out that listen, this is not something new. You're doing a lot of those things, but you can do it on a more deeper, profound base now. You know the why, you know how to bring it to your children. You know some strategies to bring it to the children. You know where to look for, because it was very interesting when I heard Stephen talk. I always get very excited when I hear him talk, because on the reflecting on mistakes, there are a lot of layers there. If a child makes a mistake, you're going to correct it or help him correct it. It's a better way to help correct it. Me, I always let my children explain why it was wrong. And then they can explain, oh, yes, I forgot this or I did that wrong. And then I say, it's very good because now I know you understand your mistake and I know you understand the problem and you won't make it again. But then I ask, why am I doing this? Why am I asking you to explain your problem or your mistake to me so that they know why it's important to reflect on that mistake and they understand when they can solve it themselves or when they can solve it with somebody else and they can explain it, they truly, truly understand. But then you notice something, because those children, when they can explain it to you, you see them straighten their shoulders, get a little smile on their face because they're proud of themselves, because they were in the learning pit and they have overcome their problems and they can explain it to you and they get a credit for it and they're very proud. And next time they want to experience the same experience. They want to be proud of themselves again and they know I can do this. So it's an ongoing process that gets reinforced the more times you do it and you explain it. And then I wanted to add as well that feedback, feed up and feed forward, because we always speak about feedback. It's telling what a problem is, but it's also very important to set the goals and talk with the children on how to achieve those goals. But the same thing you have to do with your teachers, because they have to be self-regulated themselves and they have to get in the thinking processes. How can I get my lessons self-regulated? And at first, a problem I encountered in the whole school group was everybody thought, oh, we need a lot of material. But in fact, you don't need material. Your means are never your goals. They're just things that can help you reach your goals, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is really to understand the thinking of your children and knowing how to respond to that. You have to learn those strategies with intention, but it's the accidental learning as well that is very important. When something occurs in your classroom, and if you have enough knowledge, you can pick it up and go with it. It's a process. Yeah.
Well, many thanks, Christine. What I really love about what you've just talked is the fact that a lot of what we're talking about here that works with the students is as important for the teachers, and the teacher as the reflective practitioner, the teacher thinking about their own practice, thinking about their own thinking and learning. I mean, these are very powerful professional development strategies. So, I think a lot can be achieved by talking more about this and getting this more embedded in schools. You did say also, Christine, that it's not necessarily so much about the resources that you have at hand, but if a teacher would come to you and ask for some tools they could use or some resources, be that a book or some lesson materials, anything like that, what would you tell them? Where would you point them to?
Well, I would certainly point them to a mini MOOC of Yeltsin. It's also on your website, I hope, Yeltsin. And Yeltsin also has a book. But what is also really important, this is about where you can find the theory, and there are a lot of websites where you can go on. But what is also very important is that you not only hear or learn about the theory, but that you go and see in other classes, in other schools, where they perhaps are just a few years ahead of you with the SRL methods and implementing metacognitive strategies. So we also went to schools here in Belgium, but also on an Erasmus project. We went to see schools in the Netherlands. And I must say, when we did that, my teachers had something like, okay, we understand what it is, but now we can see it. And it really enhanced, enforced, and accelerated the process enormously. It's something I want to advise to all school principals. If you have the chance and you know schools who are working on the same and share your vision, it's always very interesting to go and look with other people. In our own school groups, we have colleague groups. We also have professional learning groups who come together, and it also enhances and reinforces everybody. I think Stephen can tell it's true because he's one of our teachers, of course, and it helps everyone to get better and to support each other in the process of implementing those SRL strategies.
Great. Stephen, is that something you can comment on, maybe on those experiences when you saw this in action for the first time? Any reflections from that?
Yeah, it's just really great to come together with a lot of other colleagues that are also passionate about this. For myself, I think it works very well when educators learn from each other, whether it's through PLCs or social media workshops or shared lesson plans. We can collaborate to create a culture of reflection and growth, not just for the students, but for ourselves too. Because I got a chance from Invento, my school group, and my school itself to go to Athens with Yeltsin. I was part of a group of teachers who are really interested in metacognition, self-regulated learning, and AI. And when you are part of a group like this, something really magical happens. So motivated teachers who are still talking about every subject in the classroom, outside of class, when you are walking the streets of Athens, having lunch or having dinner, all these moments are used to talk about metacognition. And teachers will tell you what works for them, what they do in their classroom, what the ideas they have. They stay in touch afterwards. So now I don't say you have to go to Greece for this, but I think it's really wonderful to see a large group of motivated teachers together. And when you learn and pick up in these moments are invaluable. So my best tip is talk to other people and try to make it your own.
Excellent. Thank you. And well, that's what we are particularly good at on the European School Education Platform. And eTwinning, of course, is bringing teachers together, establishing these kind of networks of teachers, getting teachers to talk to each other. So there are plenty of resources on the platform that can help with exactly what Stephen was talking about. Yeltsin, can I also bring you in here? Is there anything else that you would point to that teachers could use to get started with this?
Yes, I know that Christine has mentioned the mini MOOC, but that's that one for now. And also my book is just in Dutch, but there are a lot of English resources available as well. I know there is on the European School Education Platform, there is this MOOC on self-regulated learning as well, actually. So I think that's a really great way to get started. I can also highly recommend the work of my Australian colleague. It's going to be in English. he has it's Cheyenne Barr, and he has a podcast and a book called Educate to Self-Regulate, for instance, but there are many other resources as well. And I also agree with Christine that, of course, it's important that you read and that you explore the theoretical underpinnings behind all of this. But I want to caution everyone because it also can lead to what we call analysis paralysis. Like we keep on reading, and like our first problem was that we didn't know what to do anymore, because as students we were actually blaming them, and we thought, oh no, it must be a lack of motivation, right? But we don't want to believe that, so that's why we went on and we discovered metacognition, self-regulated learning. And now our new problem is that we see all these different opportunities, all these different skills that we can start working on that will help our students, but where do we begin? And then that can really paralyze people as well. So I would really want to advise there that at some point, stop reading. Yes, go to schools and go and collaborate with colleagues, and then just start. It doesn't really matter where you start. Just start with a problem that's really urgent in your school so that it will get you the results as fast as possible. Maybe a kind of a funny example, like a few weeks back, I was talking to this team, and I was working with them on self-regulated learning, and I was on a call with them, and they told me, Yeltsin, we are really, really sorry to say this, but we have to pause working with self-regulated learning. We have to put on hold for a while because we just got the results of our students back and their mathematics scores are really, really poor. We first have to focus on mathematics and improving that. And actually, I was so glad I brought it up and I actually started laughing a little bit. Luckily, they allowed me to do that. They were very kind. And I also immediately understood what I meant. It's like, that's the perfect opportunity to start working with self-regulated learning and metacognition, because you don't have to do it just metacognition because of metacognition. No, you do it because it's a means to helping your students improve. And if mathematics is where improvement is needed the most, and that's also where you start. And that can be different in any type of school, actually.
And is this a quite sort of niche thing at the moment that you see in individual schools in Belgium or in across Europe? Or is there a general awareness that we need to embed this in curricula and we need to train teachers in this? What's the situation there?
I'm probably a little bit biased because I am usually working with systems that really already see the value of it. But I think zooming out a bit, I see a lot of policy interest. It's based on research usually. Effectiveness studies really show is, like, for example, the teaching and learning toolkits from the Education Endowment Foundation in the UK. They conducted a meta-analysis that really shows, if you compare different interventions in the classroom, that when you invest in self-regulated learning and metacognition, that you have a lot of effect on student achievement. So these kind of studies really makes policymakers more aware. And so you see in different education systems that it is indeed getting more attention. Another example is the OECD, for example, and the PISA studies. Like, the thematic part of their studies at the moment is going and check with our teenagers whether they use self-regulation strategies when learning online, for example. So you can really see that there is more emphasis on the topic. And at the same time, I can also see that a lot of school principals are being more aware of this, and I really want to do this in an evidence base as well. And so I'm pretty positive about it, but at the same time, I'm also still aware that for a lot of schools, it's still something that they hear about. It's still something that they think, oh, but we do that already, which yes, they do, but that's not really an answer to the right question. It's not a question of do we already pay attention to metacognition. It's how do we pay attention to metacognition, and is the way how we are doing it actually effective? Are students doing it?
Great. And let's hope this podcast episode helps a bit in raising more awareness across Europe on this. And of course, all the other resources which we have mentioned, which, by the way, we will link in the show notes. Well, that brings us almost to a close of this episode, but I do quickly want to ask you one more question, each of you. There are a lot of teachers out there who might, they might be convinced, but they might be still a little bit skeptical about what's the next step and how to get started. And then there might be some which are generally very skeptical. I'm sure you've come across them in your own schools. In one sentence, what would you say to them? And let's start with you, Stephen.
Well, I would say that metacognitive practices, they help students become active learners who understand their strengths and weaknesses, leading to improved engagement and long-term success, not just for this year, but for life.
Thank you, Stephen. Christine?
Well, I agree with that, because I think teaching students what to learn is important, but teaching them how to learn, that then transforms them really into independent, lifelong learners. And that's what everybody wants as a teacher.
Indeed. Thank you. Jansen?
I would ask a question, probably. If you know metacognition has such a big impact on your student success, would you then want to leave it up to chance whether or not your students develop metacognition? Or would you want to explore what metacognition and self-regulated learning are all about and then find new opportunities for them to help them thrive?
Excellent. A lot to think about here for our listeners. We've talked about how context-dependent metacognition is, the metacognitive skills, metacognitive knowledge, the importance of starting small, but making sure that you actually get started, a lot of practices that you might already be using in your classroom, just not you don't necessarily do it with the awareness of metacognition. And then, of course, also the importance of connecting educators and bringing teachers together, seeing this in practice and learning from each other. So I think, fantastic stuff. Lots to think about there for our colleagues. Let's hope this episode helps some colleagues move this forward in their own schools, in their own education systems. So a big thanks to all three of you. I do want to take the opportunity to just quickly highlight some resources we have on the European School Education Platform. Yeltsin already mentioned that we recently launched a course with the title Empowering Teachers and Students Through Self-Regulated Learning, which Yeltsin actually helped us work on. We also have some dedicated articles focusing on self-regulated learning, but also specifically on metacognition. And we recently had a webinar, which was organized as part of one of our eTwinning featured groups, about children's conceptions of thinking as a starting point to promote lifelong learning, and many other more resources that you can find there. So make sure to check out the show notes of this episode, but also just do a search on the European School Education Platform, and there are a lot of useful resources that can get you started with. With that, I will close this episode and just say that please keep an eye out for our next episode, which will focus on countering gender stereotypes in the STEM classroom. And my colleague Ruta Baptista will be back as host for that episode. So thanks a lot for listening, and see you on the next episode.